Hi, this is Janine Dixon with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. As we come to the end of the year, I want to take a moment to thank all of the listeners of the ID the Future podcast and all of our supporters. As Educational Outreach Coordinator, I can tell you that without the financial support of our loyal friends and contributors, we would be hard-pressed to spread our messages about science, education, academic freedom, and intelligent design. You make it possible. If you enjoy the ID the Future podcast, please consider giving at idthefuture.com by clicking on the yellow donate button at the top of the page. We need your help to keep this important podcast going. Go to idthefuture.com and click on the yellow donate button. That's www.idthefuture.com. Thank you so much for your support. And now, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we're going to talk about how recent papers are challenging the Tree of Life hypothesis. Despite Darwinian expectations, there is no single agreed-upon Tree of Life. Efforts to derive such a tree, which would coherently describe the descent of all life forms from a common ancestor, are bedeviled by scientists offering pesky evidence that disturbs the tidy evolutionary story. A recent paper in the journal Biological Reviews of the Cambridge Philosophical Society offers some striking comments about the prevalence of discordance between phylogenetic trees. It acknowledges that, quote, phylogenetic conflict is common and frequently the norm rather than the exception, unquote. Many had hoped that collecting more data would resolve some of these problems, but the paper observes that, quote, phylogenetic conflict has become a more acute problem with the advent of genome-scale datasets, unquote. As the paper states, quote, incongruence between phylogenies derived from morphological versus molecular analyses and between trees based upon different subsets of molecular sequences has become pervasive as datasets have expanded rapidly both in characters and species, unquote. Meanwhile, bats are posing phylogenetic conundrums for evolutionary biologists in an entirely different way, ways that include both morphological and molecular data. It's long been known that bats and whales use echolocation, even though their supposed distant common ancestor didn't have this trait. Evolutionary biologists have long believed this was a case of convergent morphological evolution. In the past, we've discussed an article in Current Biology explaining the surprising finding that echolocation in bats and whales also involves genetic similarities. As the paper stated, quote, only microbats and toothed whales have acquired sophisticated echolocation, indispensable for their orientation and foraging. Although the bat and whale biosonars originated independently and differ substantially in many aspects, we here report the surprising finding that the bottlenose dolphin, a toothed whale, is clustered with microbats in the gene tree constructed using protein sequences encoded by the hearing gene Prestin, unquote. Of course, the authors try to massage away this result, which doesn't fit with the standard mammalian phylogeny. They try to explain it by appealing to convergent evolution at the genetic level. In fact, another paper called this data, quote, one of the best examples of convergent molecular evolution discovered to date, unquote. Indeed, a recent 2012 study titled Parallel Evolution of Auditory Genes for Echolocation in Bats and Toothed Whales has expanded what we know about the extent of unexpected convergent similarity among bat and whale genes. According to the paper, quote, the ability of bats and toothed whales to echolocate is a remarkable case of convergent evolution. Previous genetic studies have documented parallel evolution of nucleotide sequences in Prestin and KCNQ4, both of which are associated with voltage motility during the cochlear amplification of signals. Echolocation involves complex mechanisms. The most important factors include cochlear amplification, nerve transmission, and signal recoding. We screen three genes that play different roles in this auditory system. CDH23 and its ligand, PCDH15, are essential for bundling motility in the sensory hair. OTOF responds to nerve signal transmission in the auditory inner hair cell. Signals of parallel evolution occur in all three genes in the three groups of echolocators, two groups of bats plus the dolphin, unquote. The paper concludes, quote, the independent origins of echolocation involve the same genes that have evolved in precisely identical ways, unquote. So let's discuss this a little. What are the odds that two genes would independently converge on a similar DNA sequence? Well, they're so low that molecular systematists make one of their ground rules the assumption that any two genes that have molecular homology must have shared a common ancestor from which they derived those similar gene sequences. The odds of two genes independently arriving at the same sequence are simply too low. But this is hardly the only known example of molecular conversion evolution. In his book, The Cell's Design, chemist and Darwin skeptic Fazel Rana reviewed the technical literature and documented over 100 reported cases of convergent genetic evolution. Each case shows an example where biological similarity, even at the genetic level, is not the result of inheritance from a common ancestor. So what does this do to the main assumption of tree building that biological similarity implies inheritance from a common ancestor? With so many exceptions to the rule, it makes you wonder if the rule itself is valid. Let's give one more recent example of so-called molecular convergent evolution. A new paper from the journal Science, titled Parallel Molecular Evolution in an Herbivore Community, finds many parallel convergent similarities between various insects that are resistant to the effects of cardenolides, a toxic compound produced by plants to prevent other organisms from feeding upon them. The paper states, quote, "Numerous insects have independently evolved the ability to feed on plants that produce toxic secondary compounds called cardenolides and can sequester these compounds for use in their defense. We surveyed the protein target for cardenolides, the alpha subunit of the sodium pump, sodium-potassium ATPase, in 14 species that feed on cardenolide-producing plants and 15 outgroups spanning three insect orders. Despite the large number of potential targets for modulating cardenolide sensitivity, amino acid substitutions associated with host plant specialization are highly clustered with many parallel substitutions." Unquote. These systems were so similar that they were forced to conclude that the same genes experienced duplications and then experienced the same amino acid changes independently in widely different organisms. As it stated, quote, "Thus, in addition to parallelisms in gene copy number and at the level of amino acid substitutions, we also observe parallel evolution of expression patterns for ATP alpha-1 duplicates arising in distantly related taxa," unquote. An article on this paper at Science Daily, titled "Far From Random, Evolution Follows a Predictable Genetic Pattern," reports widespread convergent genetic evolution in very diverse groups of insects. It stated, quote, "The researchers carried out a survey of DNA sequences from 29 distantly related insect species, the largest sample of organisms yet examined for a single evolutionary trait. 14 of these species have evolved a nearly identical characteristic due to one external influence. They feed on plants that produce cardenolides, a class of steroid-like cardiotoxins that are a natural defense for plants such as milkweed and dogbane. Though separated by 300 million years of evolution, these diverse insects, which include beetles, butterflies, and aphids, experience changes to a key protein called sodium-potassium adenosine triphosphate, or the sodium-potassium pump, which regulates a cell's crucial sodium-to-potassium ratio. The protein in these insects eventually evolved a resistance to cardenolides, which usually cripple the protein's ability to pump potassium into cells and excess sodium out," unquote. The genes in these distantly related insect species independently evolved highly similar species, as the article continues, quote, "The finding of parallel evolution in not two, but numerous herbivorous insects increases the significance of this study because such frequent parallelism is extremely unlikely to have happened by chance," said one scientist. "It shows that a common molecular mechanism is used by many different insects to defend themselves against the toxins in their food, suggesting that perhaps the number of potential mechanisms for achieving this goal is limited," he said, "that many different insects independently evolve the same molecular tricks to defend themselves against the same toxins suggests that studying a small number of well-chosen model organisms can teach us a lot about other species. Yes, evolution is predictable to a certain degree," unquote. Sure, if they assume that Darwinian evolution is correct, then the necessary conclusion is that it must be predictable. But is this what they expected? Not at all. As one of the scientists quoted in the same article stated, quote, "Is evolution predictable? To a surprising extent, the answer is yes," unquote. This result wouldn't be so surprising if scientists were able to consider the possibility of common design to explain these examples of extreme convergent evolution. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.